from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, victims of communism are honored, fighting back against critical race theory, and international religious freedom gets a grassroots push. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. As China continues its 100-year celebration of the CPP, the governor of Nebraska has declared July to be Victims of Communism Remembrance Month. Governor Pete Ricketts joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Wednesday to discuss his state's move.
Governor, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
So, Governor, what prompted you to issue this declaration?
Well, with the 100th anniversary of the CCP, I knew that the CCP would be looking to sing their own praises, as you were talking about. And I wanted to make sure that people remembered that the implementation of communism has led to nearly 100 million deaths worldwide. To put that in perspective, more people have died at the hands of communist regimes than died in World War I and World War II combined. And this includes about 65 million in China, about 20 million in the Soviet Union, 2 million in Cambodia, 2 million in North Korea, about 1 million in Eastern Europe. And we need to remember those stories. And so I highlighted that in my hearing room with, for example, one of our teammates whose uncle was killed in Russia just for having a shortwave radio. There was no trial, nothing. When the shortwave radio was discovered, he was just shot on sight. And that is what communist regimes do. They deprive people of their rights, and whether it's by shooting, hanging, or mass starvations, millions of people die.
Isn't it interesting, Governor, that that's not really being taught today, that we're not, our young people are not learning about what's at the core of communism and Marxism?
Yeah, it really is something that we needed to focus on as parents, because we're primarily responsible for our kids' education, to pick up if the schools are going to drop the ball on teaching this. You know, Marxism is where communism comes from, and it teaches about class warfare, creating conflict within a society and depriving people of their rights. That's the basis of it. Whereas our free enterprise system lifts people up and provides for human flourishing and religious freedom. And we can see it to this day in places like China, where the Chinese Communist Party is oppressing people like the Uyghurs. Christians are being, to this day, are still being persecuted there, and churches still being destroyed. And that's what we need to make sure our young people know, to when they see what the propaganda the CCP is putting out, to know the true story of what it means to live under communist oppression.
I want to get to the issue of education, because you've been holding some town hall meetings on education. But before I do that, as governor of Nebraska, you've actually had some experience with China, and you know what the CCP is all about.
Yeah, one of the things that we did when I became governor is we went on trade missions to China, and it really was an eye-opener to see how the Chinese government operated. We had people, for example, on my trade mission that were harassed and followed and surveilled, had their rooms broken into, that sort of thing. And that's when I was supposed to be a welcome guest. And certainly when President Trump tried to rearrange or, create a level playing field with regard to our trade relationships, it really highlighted really how the Chinese have been taking advantage of us. And the Chinese Communist Party was continuing to steal, for example, our intellectual property. So we really have to take a longer view of what our relationship with China will be like, and take into consideration all these factors, the human rights, the intellectual property, the trade, security. All these things have to be considered as a whole, to make sure that we've got an appropriate relationship with China, that we get them to start behaving according to international norms, and really not letting them take advantage of us like they have for so many years.
Well, I, for one, Governor, appreciate you taking this opportunity to educate not just the citizens of Nebraska, but really as a governor, you know, I hope some of your other colleagues in some of the other states would follow suit, because where the schools are failing, maybe, as you said, clearly parents are the ultimate responsibility, but maybe governors could prompt those parents to have these conversations with the facts of what communism means in terms of not just our freedom, but life and death. when you talk about the 100 million that lost their lives in the 20th century to communism. But speaking of education, you've been hosting some town hall meetings, Protect Our Kids and School town hall meetings. We talked about this a couple of months ago. Tell our listeners what's going on there in the schools in Nebraska.
Yeah, so our State Board of Education, which does not report to me, they're a separately elected board, is actually who's responsible for our Department of Education and setting the standards for our schools. And they've recently put out some draft standards that involve sex education that really would sexualize our children. And some of the stuff is just truly shocking. Some of it's non-scientific, some of it's politically charged. Some of it's things that really just should be taught at home by the parents. And really, it was developed with the help of political groups like Out Nebraska, which is an LGBTQ group, and left out mainstream groups like my chief medical officer or the Nebraska Catholic Conference, which educates about 10% of the kids in our state. So I've been calling for those standards to be scrapped. And because the State Board does not report to me, it really needs parents to get involved and reach out to the State Board of Education to attend their meetings, to give input on this, to get local school boards to pass resolutions against these sex education standards that really are sexualizing our children. In fact, when I talked to one pediatrician, she told me that these standards were really grooming 101. And it really is just, again, the material is just shocking. So the first thing I do is just tell people, go read the standards and you'll be horrified about what's in them. And that's where we have to act and get the State Board to really reconsider what they've done.
Governor, very quickly, we've got a lot of listeners in Nebraska. What can they do to help you?
Well, first thing, go to the Department of Education's website, education.ne.gov, and read the standards. And then contact your State Board of Education member. You can find that on that website as well. There's also an email address, ned.standardsinput@nebraska.gov, and they can send an email that way. State senators have put together a model resolution to take your board. Do that. Sign up to my website, governor.nebraska.gov, to get updates and just really stay on top of this issue, because it's going to be evolving over the next several months. And it's important that we get the State Board of Education at these standards. There's no fixing them if they just have to be dropped.
All right. We'll encourage folks to do that. Governor, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Great. Thank you very much for having me on, Tony. I appreciate it.
You can find out more about Governor Ricketts when you visit tonyperkins.com. We also invite you to join Tony Perkins every morning on Facebook as he shares a devotional from our two-year Bible reading plan. And you can be a part of that reading plan. Just look for details over at tonyperkins.com.
What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, President of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel during the Easter season with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, myself, and others from April the 5th through April the 15th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. If you joined us for our school board boot camp last week, you know that critical race theory is running rampant in our public schools. Representative Dan Bishop of North Carolina is urging parents to fight back at the local level on this issue, and he joined Tony Perkins on Thursday to talk about it.
Dan, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony. Good to see you. Good to be back with you.
Well, good to see you. Glad you are with us. First of all, regarding the claim that this divisive teaching of critical race theory is not in the classrooms in America, how do you respond to that?
You know, the left is in disarray about this, Tony. They are changing their answers almost on a daily basis because they are seeing moms and dads across the country coming at them with everything they got. And so the first thing they say it's not being taught. Well, actually, I think the first thing they said, Tony, was those of us such as me who are sponsoring legislation to ban this practice didn't know what critical race theory is, that we don't know. And so you get all their compliant reporters would say that on CNN. We'll try to get somebody and say, well, what is it? They want you to just define the thing. And then they say it's just an academic doctrine. And then they say it's not being taught. But then you see people come out and say it is being taught. Then the union comes forward and said it should be taught. And then I guess the latest is the union saying that they'll litigate to defend teachers who teach it in defiance of bans by state legislatures. They are reeling, Tony. This is one of the best signs I've seen about any culture war controversy. They know they're losing, and they're trying to find some solid ground to plant a flag on.
Yeah, this is a classic got their hand caught in the cookie jar, and they are trying to, well, there's no cookies in there. They know they have been caught. I've got from the American Federation of Teachers, the president, Randy Weingarten, in a speech, I think that's her name, in a speech before union members. She made two statements, and they were contradictory. First, I'm going to play clip number two.
The new cultural campaign, some lawmakers and Fox News are using to distort history, limit learning, and stoke fears about our public schools. Let's be clear. Critical race theory is not taught in elementary schools or middle schools or high schools.
Okay. So it's not being, just like you were saying a few moments ago, it's not being taught. But here in the same speech, this is what she said a little bit later, clip number three.
Mark my words. Our union will defend any member who gets in trouble for teaching honest history. We have a legal defense fund ready to go, and we are preparing for litigation as we speak. Teaching the truth is not radical or wrong. Distorting history and threatening educators for teaching the truth is what is truly radical and wrong.
So they're not teaching it, and that's actually what's being restricted by certain school boards and more legislative bodies are saying you can't teach critical race theory. They're not saying you can't teach the truth or you can't teach history. So why would they need a legal defense fund if they were simply teaching history?
They know exactly what they're doing, Tony. Let me make that point, though, crystal clear. They falsely ascribe to these pieces of legislation, including mine, that we're suggesting that someone should not teach history honestly, or that it shouldn't teach history, including all of the warts and the racial injustice in the history of the United States. Nothing could be farther from the truth. These bills are quite specific. They don't say anything of that kind. In fact, many of them specifically say that all honest history should be taught. What they say you can't do is this critical race theory. Another term for it is critical social justice. Another term for it is race essentialism. The idea that our society is in current society is inherently racist, that to be white is to be racist and to oppress people of other races or other, if you're male, then to oppress women. That is the poisonous ideology. And they intend to defend it because they intend to inculcate it. And there's one more point I think worth making, Tony. They object sometimes, they're saying it's not being taught. In fact, it's being practiced. Now, they're not really explaining critical race theory. What they're doing is they're practicing critical race theory. Yeah. They're inculcating it among children by imposing these ideas on them. That's what they're doing.
That's an extremely important point, because as a theory, it is not being taught as a theory in elementary school classrooms, but it is the framework from which the teachers are teaching. And, you know, if you want to be broader and use, layman's language, they should not be able to teach the students in public schools to hate America, which is what they are doing. They Absolutely. Are, as you said, they're indoctrinating them, inculcating them with a view of America's history that is slanted. As you said, we need to teach it, warts and all. But we're still a country that is moving in the right direction, and the rest of the world has benefited from it. And we have done our very best to correct our errors. But what they want to do is only focus on the negative aspects of America, and as we're seeing in the polling. teach young people to hate this country.
That's right, Tony. And many have correctly observed it is a Marxian theory. It is akin to Marxism. It's not precisely the same. But the idea is the whole notion of critical theory is to foment conflict constantly, undermine, talk about how bad the country is and our culture is and people are in the culture, set groups against one another. And it has an objective to radically reorder society and rights and laws in order to have some utopia emerge. That's Marxian, and that's what they seek to do.
But I have another problem, Dan Bishop, with this. And this is the fact that I think the teachers have lost who they work for. They work for the parents. It is the parents who pays the taxes so that they can go in the classroom and teach their children. And now you have teachers who are acting as if they are the ones that control this whole system, and they'll teach your children whatever the heck they want to teach them, and you just keep your nose out of the classroom.
Exactly true, Tony. That's what they suggest, and this has been sort of a growing problem over a period of years. It's kind of the way the union shop works, perhaps, but that's correct. I even saw a New York Times editorial joined in by David French, who at one point in time was a conservative, and he called these pieces of legislation that seek to ban this practice a speech code. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is not restricting somebody's free speech. This is a question of prescribing curriculum for public schools. State legislatures do that, and other regulatory bodies. And teachers are their employees, and they teach children what those authorities decide as duly elected representatives of the people, what children should be learning. It's not up to them to inculcate ideology, to be political. That's not what they're there for. And states are well within their rights to correct problems like that when they occur. Those teachers work for the people.
And Congressman Bishop, the silver lining here maybe is I've got almost a 20-year perspective here in Washington when I look at these things. This reminds me of 2009, 2010, when the Obama administration, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker. They pushed through Obamacare, even though the American public did not want it. That gave rise to the Tea Party. The Tea Party, we had a wave come into Congress in 2010. The Republicans took the majority. I see this as a Tea Party type movement that goes even deeper, because this is at the local level where you have parents going into school boards. I think you're going to have a wave across the nation where parents take back our schools, which is going to have a domino effect. City councils, state legislatures, and even Congress.
I think you're completely right. You know, Tony, there have been lots of issues that are just fundamentally, they're just astonishing, the position that the left is taking. Take the other one, defund the police, as if anybody would have thought that could potentially be a successful political strategy or strategy for managing civic life. But they did that, and people are reacting, and you're seeing the crime rise through the ceiling. So now they've gone beyond that to say, we're also going to poison the minds of your children in public school, as if that should get them down the road. You are exactly right. There is a building wave, and where the left sees it, and why CNN is all over this and trying to ridicule people, is because they see moms and dads in school board meetings all across the country, moms and dads of all races, Tony, and all genders, telling it to these officials, and in some cases, taking them out of their offices by recall. They see this wave building. Let me say this to the moms and dads across this country. Do not pass up this opportunity. This is the time to double down and make yourself heard.
But what I've seen, Dan Bishop, is that over the course of time, more conservative members of Congress have come. Republicans who are not Republican in name only. There's still some, you know them. They're there. but there's fewer yep. of them. There's more men and women like you who are motivated by their faith, drawn into this arena because of that. Dan, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. We stand with you and grateful for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Great to be with you.
You can find out more about Dan Bishop when you visit tonyperkins.com. We also invite you to stay informed on issues like this by getting the Stand Firm app on your phone. Find out more at tonyperkins.com.
It is important for God's children to spend time with Him in His Word, but it can be difficult to know where to start. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. That is why Family Research Council offers their Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. Read the Bible daily so you can be transformed by God's Word. Sign up today at frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salka. During the Trump administration, religious freedom was a point of focus, and he went so far as to appoint an ambassador at large for international religious freedom. That ambassador was former Senator Sam Brownback, and he joined Tony on Thursday to talk about a new grassroots movement to bring freedom of religion to more and more countries.
Sam, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Always good to join you. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much. Tell us how this summit came to be.
Well, the Lord leaned on me last fall, and really the idea just hit at that point in time that we needed to continue to do this, that we'd made so much progress on religious freedom, on issues around the world, raising the profile, elevating the issue, that we really needed to continue to press it on forward. And we needed to move it to civil society because civil society is constantly concerned about this. Governments have different opinions. They come and go. They have different emphasis. But we've got these civil society groups that this is their passion. And so we put this together and now have nearly 70 groups that are co-sponsoring this from around the world. To a sold out event. And I think you're going to see this be the new model to move forward the grassroots effort to instill religious freedom around the world.
Now, it's being led by civil society, but will government leaders be there speaking?
They will. It's a bipartisan event. Katrina Lantos-Swett and I are the two co-chairs. Her husband and father were both Democrat members of Congress. We've got Democrat and Republican House and Senate co-chairs, and then we'll have three administration officials speaking at the event, along with a number of parliamentarians from around the world and civil society groups.
So other than this being led by civil society as juxtaposed to being led by the government, what are some of the other differences between this and the ministerial that you helped lead at the State Department?
You know, our emphasis will be really how do we move the movement forward, not so much the governments. We want to change governments in most places around the world to have them embrace religious freedom. But the movement itself is about really energizing the civil society and the religious groups around the world to come together and to stand for each other's religious freedom. So we will have groups, there'll be Christian groups, but there will also be Jewish and Muslim and Hindu and Buddhist and Zoroastrian and atheist. We'll have all sorts of groups with one common mantra, and that is religious freedom for everybody, everywhere, all the time. And we want to push the governments to make sure that that takes place. And Tony, if we don't see religious freedom for everybody around the world, we will see the clash of civilizations continue to take place, like we're witnessing even now in Africa and in Asia. And I'm afraid that trend's going to grow if we don't see this fundamental human right protected.
And I agree with you 100%. This is a fundamental human right, and where we've talked about this before, where that right is protected and nurtured, all of society benefits economically, stability in other realms of society. But how central and key of a role does civil society play in this issue?
It's the agitator. It's the promoter. It's the pusher. It's the group that says, look, we're just not going to stop until we realize our mission, which is to get this religious freedom for everybody. And that's why I think is just so central about this moving to the civil society groups, because they are not going to quit. They don't change until this is taking place. And we have such a high level of persecution taking place around the world today. Christians, highest ever. But also, we've had the Human Rights Project around the world be in decline. And I think one of the fundamental reasons is because religious freedom has been in decline. And when that one's in decline, I'm afraid it really provides an easier slope for a lot of other human rights to decline.
Ambassador, very quickly, we're almost out of time, but there has been a charter of religious freedom that's been drafted that will be presented at this summit. Tell our listeners about that.
The charter is an agreement between all the religious groups that are here in an agreement about what this human right is all about. This is not a charter of a common theology, because we don't agree about theology. We don't talk about theology. But it is about what we have in common of this fundamental human right. So it stands up for the dignity of the individual to choose, to change, to pursue God in their own personal but peaceful way. And that charter then spells those issues out. We'll also have issues that we'll pursue, like the end of the death penalty for blasphemy and apostasy laws, breaking down the Chinese internet firewall so the Chinese people can have access to the internet, amongst a number of other issues.
Very quickly, I know it's sold out, but where can people find out more about this movement? Because it's not a one-time event. This is going to be ongoing.
It will. We'll have monthly Zoom meetings of the people that participate afterwards, and they can go online at irfsummit.com, irfsummit.com.
All right, Ambassador Sam Brownback, always great to talk with you.
My pleasure, friend. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.